Chapter 42. Taylor sat on the couch, seemingly unaware of her new surroundings. Stirred by the noise of new arrivals, Leon trundled down the stairs. Upon seeing his mother, he squealed with joy, launching himself at her with a sweeping hug. Kelsey's heart ached as her youngest son's arms wrapped around her.
"Mom, you're back!"
he cheered. Then he saw Taylor.
"Who's she? Why is she dressed weird?"
"This is Taylor. She's my half-sister, which I guess makes her your half-aunt. She's recovering from an accident, so she's going to stay here with you and your dad for a bit until she's ready to go back to her own home."
"Are you going to stay too?"
asked Leon optimistically. "I can't right now, sweetie," said Kelsey.
"Why not?"
he pressed, crestfallen. Kelsey glanced at Michael. "It's complicated." "Remind me why she can't stay with her own family," said Michael. "Because they're the worst. I think Stacy's exact words were, she's your mess to clean up now. She's over 18, so technically they don't have to house her anymore."
"What about Tony? I thought he was a half-decent father these days."
"Tony does what Stacy orders. Look, I don't want to talk about their hideous relationship right now. I just need you to help me with this, please. The hospital won't take her back. They say she's stable, so there's nothing more they can do. And I can't keep her at my apartment while I'm at work because she's just not safe on her own. Please, Michael. I know things are rough between us right now, but if you still love me at all, I really need your help."
Michael sighed wearily. "Of course. She can stay as long as she needs." There was a clatter from the basement.
"What was that?" said Kelsey.
"Nothing," replied Michael hastily. Heavy thuds emanated from the hallway. Kelsey peered at the basement door with alarm. Michael darted past her, blocking it off with unconvincing nonchalance.
"You should probably head off," said Michael.
"Michael, tell me what's going on," demanded Kelsey.
There was a bang at the door. Then another. The impact shook Michael's body as he tried to enforce his blockade. He gripped the door handle tightly, but it twisted against him. The door creaked open. Michael's feet burned as he was pushed back across the carpet. With a hissing plume of steam, the automaton stepped into the hallway and fixed its stony eyes on Kelsey. Her mouth fell open.
"What the hell is this thing doing in our house?" she exclaimed.
"Don't freak out," urged Michael.
"You're hiding a ministry automaton in the basement?"
As the steam cleared, Kelsey faltered.
I know this machine," she stammered.
"What?"
"I've seen it before, years ago. Before I met you, it worked at the city nursing home. I was hiding there, and it found me."
"Did it report you?"
"No. It brought me food. Or at least I think that's what it was doing. It might have been intended for the resident whose room I was squatting in."
"This is incredible. You're saying this machine has already helped us both," beamed Michael.
"Maybe, but there was something else about it. The manager there wanted to get rid of it, but I can't remember why."
Kelsey's eyes widened as the memory came flooding back. The panic in the care home. The elderly woman going into cardiac arrest. The manager's despair. She stepped backwards fearfully. Her voice was suddenly dry.
"This machine isn't what you think," she croaked.
"What are you talking about?"
"It killed an old lady."
"You saw that? Why didn't you report it?"
"I didn't see it directly, but this machine was the last thing to go into the old woman's room."
"How many years ago was this? Maybe you're confusing it with another. There are lots of automatons."
"Impossible. Have you ever seen another machine that looks like this?"
Michael glanced at the mottled blue stains across the automaton's face and shook his head.
"What if it's a suspect or something?" continued Kelsey. "There could be a bounty on its head."
"Don't be ridiculous. Besides, the ministry have had 18 years to find it. No one's kicked our door down in that time."
"This thing's been in our home all that time? Are you insane?"
"It was broken. I kept it in a suitcase," said Michael sheepishly.
I want it gone. Right now. What it did to that woman...
But you never actually saw it do anything. You said it yourself. The woman was elderly. Maybe it was just her time.
She didn't have a letter, Michael. You know what happens to souls that die without their letter? That's why I remember it so clearly. I've not seen this machine since the manager got rid of it that same day. I think she suspected it too. I don't want it in our house, Michael. It's dangerous.
Wait. Please, Kelsey, give it a chance. I used to think it was sinister, but I was wrong, okay? I've seen it do good with my own eyes.
In which case, it would be a stolen ministry artifact you've kept hostage for 2 decades, fumed Kelsey. It could roll out of the house and report us to the police at any moment.
Not this one. It's different, Kelsey, I swear. It's on our side. I don't think it follows the ministry's rules. That's why they tore it apart. It brought me something that healed Granddad, a token of sorts. At first, I didn't know what to do. I thought it was cursed.
Wait, that was the curse? Some token was the great hocus-pocus you were tormenting yourself over all those years ago? Cried Kelsey.
Not exactly, but the point is, I threw the token away and Granddad kept getting worse. This same machine kept tracking me down, and finally, it administered a strip of the medicine to Granddad directly. It was like nothing I've seen before. It healed him, Kelsey. He remembered who he was again.
Kelsey's jaw slackened. She looked from Michael to the blue-stained machine and back. Surely her husband wasn't referring to what she was thinking of.
Describe the token it gave your Granddad, the strip of medicine, said Kelsey.
It was weird, mused Michael. It came in a thin glass slab with symbols embossed on the edges. It looked transparent, but then under the light it glimmered like a slick of oil. This automaton cracked it open and took out a liquidy wafer thing, which it placed on Granddad's tongue. It was super weird, like it was tailor-made or something, because the symbols on the glass matched those on Granddad's tattoo.
Kelsey leaned against the wall, processing. I've seen those slabs, she said faintly. We use them at work. They're part of the bake. I always thought it was just the serum that was used. I never knew there was any residual liquid in the vessels. The slabs go back to the ministry.
Who control people's health, completed Michael.
Kelsey stared at him with a deep sense of foreboding.
Most worrying of all, her paranoid, skittish, sleep-deprived husband was starting to make sense.
I could use a coffee. You? Said Michael.
Kelsey nodded, and they moved through to the kitchen. The automaton lingered in the hallway.
Does it just stay there? Said Kelsey as the coffee brewed.
I don't know what it can or can't do yet. This is its first day back in operation in almost 20 years. I did my best putting it back together, but I'm pretty sure it's not supposed to leak steam every 10 minutes.
Kelsey's unease was growing. The thought of keeping another ministry secret so close to home filled her with dread.
You need to return it, Michael, said Kelsey, wringing her hands.
Are you crazy? This thing can help us protect Olive.
From what? Her father's paranoias? Michael, this isn't right. It could get us into a lot of trouble. It's stolen ministry property, and we're already on their list.
List for what?
All kinds of things. We've both been investigated by the police. We've both done things we regret. We need to keep our heads down now more than ever.
Now? Why now?
Kelsey, what's happened? Has this got something to do with Taylor?
Michael's eyes darted to the couch, but the teenager was missing.
Wait, where's she gone?
Kelsey spun around, also clocking Taylor's empty seat. She leaped to her feet, calling Taylor's name. From the hallway, a loud thudding resonated. Michael and Kelsey hurried towards the sound. The automaton leaped over the threshold and sped across the garden path. Kelsey's eyes widened as she saw Taylor standing in the middle of the road, clutching the sides of her gown, looking distressed. A horn blared. Brakes screeched. With a surge of speed, the automaton powered forwards and dived for Taylor. Both she and it vanished from sight as the blaring truck swept past with a screech. Kelsey called out in horror. She ran forwards. On the far side of the road were two bodies wrapped like lovers spooning. Neither was moving. She fell to her knees, placing a hand on Taylor's cheek. The teenager's eyes flickered open sleepily. She became aware of the machine wrapped around her and its large, shielding hand cradling her skull from the ground. Startled, she struggled against it, moaning. Kelsey soothed her as tears of guilt and relief flooded her eyes. The truck driver was angrily pacing towards them from 100 feet down the road.
"What the hell are you people playing at?" he cried.
Michael intervened hastily. "I'm so sorry, mister. Our daughter's not well, and she got out of the house. Sorry if we gave you a fright. She's all right. No harm done."
"Yeah, only thanks to that machine. Where were you people?" fumed the man.
"We'll take it from here. Thank you for stopping," said Michael curtly. The man's eyes softened when he saw Taylor's vulnerable figure crying in Kelsey's arms. He muttered something semi-conciliatory and returned to his truck. The automaton climbed to its feet and carried out a systems check for damage. It was a little scuffed, but otherwise all parts remained in working order. Michael gave a forced friendly wave to his curtain-twitching neighbors and ushered the group back inside. They returned Taylor to the couch, got her a drink and blanket, then put on a children's TV show which seemed to soothe her. The automaton sat beside her, appearing to watch the show too. Michael and Kelsey retreated to the kitchen and resumed their coffee making.
"I can't be responsible for her. Not if she's going to be like that," whispered Michael.
"Please, it's only a couple of weeks," urged Kelsey.
"Why can't you keep her with you?"
"I told you, I'm not allowed guests at my rental place, and if the ministry finds out what happened to her, they'll fire me for sure. I have to keep her off-grid until she's better."
"Why?
Did you do this to her?" "It was an experimental procedure, all right? It was supposed to help her, but it didn't work as expected. She's regressed much more than I anticipated, and it's too soon to tell if it's permanent or temporary."
"I'm calling Tony. Her family have to take some responsibility for this, too."
"No, we can't push them. They might report me for malpractice. I have to see if she gets better first. I can make her better, I swear, I hope. But I need time. Please, Michael, I'm begging you to help me here."
Michael rubbed his itchy, bloodshot eyes.
"I need something in return," he said.
"Name it."
"I want my wife back."
Kelsey's shoulders dropped.
"It's not that simple, Michael."
"Why not? I miss you."
"You killed a man," she hissed.
The automaton's head clicked around from the couch and fixed eyes on Michael.
"No, Kelsey. I saved a man from a situation he could no longer bear. I respected his freedom. After everything you've been through, I thought you, of all people, would understand."
"After everything I've been through, I value my life, Michael, and those of everyone around me. I want to make their lives better, not shorter," she hissed.
"Me too. That's why I rebuilt the machine," urged Michael.
"This is exactly the sort of behavior that drove me out, Michael. You're obsessed with trying to game the system. You can't beat life. You will only make yourself miserable trying."
"That is so hypocritical coming from you," snapped Michael.
"No, it's not. I cheated twice, and I regret it deeply. You know that. What I did, switching the babies, had consequences I never imagined. I realize now that the only way forward is to make the system work for you. If you try to beat it, you'll lose every time."
"This is what you call making it work? Hiding your lobotomized half-sister here?"
"It's temporary."
"How about us? Are we temporary?"
"Please, Michael, I can't do this right now. You kept things from me. I miss the man I used to know when our children were growing up. You had yourself under control. You were taking your meds, living your life, not just desperately trying to fend off the inevitable," said Kelsey.
"That's what I've been trying to tell you all. There's nothing inevitable about our death letters. I know that now. There's a way to bargain with the ministry."
Michael's eyes glimmered as he pictured his ancient neighbor making the offering at the ministry under the cover of darkness. Kelsey's eyes fell to the stack of envelopes on the table.
"What are these?"
Are you behind on your bills?
Michael tried to snatch the letters away from her, but she was too quick.
Michael, there are multiples from each utility. Since when are you in financial difficulty? I've been subbing you for the kids' expenses. What's going on?
It's nothing. I've got it under control, said Michael.
You're still working, right?
Said Kelsey warily. Michael pretended not to hear and busied himself in the cupboard.
Oh my God, since when?
Only a few weeks, said Michael.
You mean you were fired before I even moved out and you didn't think to tell me?
Really? You want to play the secrets card? Last time I checked, I didn't lie to you about our daughter's birth, snapped Michael.
I was trying to protect you. I've apologized 100 times. What more can I do?
Stop judging me for trying to protect her now, then. You brought her into my life. I'm trying to keep her alive. You need to respect that.
Kelsey's wristwatch chimed. I need to be at work. You should try it sometime. It'll help with the bills, said Kelsey, hurrying to the couch.
And I'll just look after your sister for free then, will I? Called Michael.
Kelsey knelt before Taylor and reassured her she'd be back soon. The girl didn't take her eyes from the screen. Kelsey kissed her forehead, then hurried for the door. There should be some of Olive's spare clothes upstairs. I'm sure she won't mind. Can you mention it if you see her before I do?
Michael glanced to the floor and felt his cheeks burn.
That's unlikely.
Kelsey stared at him with dread.
Oh, God, Michael, what did you do?
I'm banned from campus, he mumbled.
Perfect. Just perfect. And you wonder why we're separating, said Kelsey.
She stormed from the house, leaving Michael alone in the hall, wondering what the hell he was going to say when Damien woke up and saw the new tenants.